Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Everybody ought to know this verse pretty easy. And one very, 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 very familiar to you ought to be. And Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And the Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. Are you that way this morning? I think we're all laboring and heavy laden in this world. And I think that, you know, you look around, the whole world's that way. Come unto me, all you that are laboring and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And the Lord says this. He says, take my yoke upon you. And a yoke is a piece of timber, normally, what they talk about. And it comes out and they put it between two cows. And they yoke up together, like this right here. And you got that piece of lumber there, and they put it around their necks, and you yoke up. And when you yoke up with that cow, and you pair up and couple up, and you serve with that cow, and you plow with that cow, two cows like that. And that's what the word yoke means. It means servitude. It means a slavery. It means in bond. It means service. It means to join. It means a mark of servitude and slavery. It means to couple. It means to join up with. And the Lord Jesus says, He says, take my yoke upon you. He said, I want you to yoke up with me. I want you to join up with me. I want me and you to get together and get this thing done, and let's get something done. He didn't say take our yoke on him. He said to take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And the only way sometimes you're going to learn from somebody, I'll tell you how it is, you get to know them when you yoke up with them. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. And I want to preach about that a little bit this morning. I want to preach, take my yoke upon you, and give you a little bit of yoke about the Lord. I want to say, number one, the yoke of the Lord Jesus, number one, is a yoke of compassion. Compassion. Boy, oh boy, do we ever need compassion in this world today. Man, I mean, this world is full of division, it's full of hatred, it's full of anger, it's full of oppression, it's full of depression, and just people can't get along. If ever in the world today, in our generation, brother, we need a yoke of compassion in this world. I mean, we see the race, we see the politics, we see the riots, we see the violence, people can't get along. I saw on the internet where people during this election, families have split up, husbands and wives split up because of a stupid, stinking election. What's wrong with people? Where did their compassion go? Brother, we need a yoke of compassion. This generation is consumed with a spirit of anger and hatred and destruction. It's in the churches today. It's among God's people, brother. We need to get back to a yoke of compassion with the Lord Jesus Christ. If never before, God's people need to yoke up with compassion. Our world is just torn apart today. Everywhere you look, it's destruction, decay, and division, attack, and hatred. Whatever happened to a little bit of compassion in our world? It breaks my heart when I see God's people involved in this stuff. Get out, come out from among them, he said, and be a separate. Let's get out of the world. Let's get away from the God of the world and get back to the Word of God. A yoke of compassion. I saw a couple of days ago, blew my mind. Steve Bannon, he used to be the chief strategist for Donald Trump. A couple of days ago, you know what he wanted to do? He called for the beheading of Dr. Fauci and Chris Ray. For real. He said this. He'd behead them. Here's what he said. He said, I'd go a step further after he cut their heads off. He said, I'd go a step further. I'd put their heads on spikes, right, and put them in the two corners of the White House as a warning to federal bureaucrats to get in line or you're next.
And Christians are putting up with it. Christians are acting that on. God forbid, brethren, we need a yoke of compassion. God's people ought to be the most compassionate people in the world. We're seeing it all. I could go give you examples after examples after examples in our world. Jesus Christ had a yoke of compassion. As never before, this world needs a big dose of real compassion. Psalms, aren't you glad we have a compassionate God? Don't you think we ought to pass it over? Psalms 86, verse 15. But Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, and gracious, and long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Psalm 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Whatever happened to God's people? And that compassion. Brother, if it wasn't for the compassion of our God, we'd all be in hell right now. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. It said, it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions. Because His compassions fail not. Throughout the New Testament, you know what you read about? You read about the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, I want to say His yoke is a yoke of compassion. Oh, how we need compassion. And God's people ought to be the most compassionate people on the planet. God's been so good to you. Listen to me. Listen, none of us deserve the blessings of being here this morning. You could be here in hell this morning if it wasn't for God, if it's because of His compassion that we are not consumed. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 36, here's what you read all throughout the Bible. I'll just give you a few examples. Matthew chapter 9, 36, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, it says He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad. Turn over to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, throughout the Bible, several times you read where Jesus was moved with compassion. And brother, we need compassion that will move us. We need to get back to the Word of God. We need to get back to this God. We need to get back to where this country was founded, with God's people that cared and had compassion for the souls of man. Our country's going to hell like a bullet. And I'll tell you where the problem is. God's people, we're the problem. It's not the Democrats. It's not the Republicans. We're the ones that have the hope. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14 says this. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them and healed their sick. All throughout that Bible. Flip over to Mark chapter 1 real quick. Mark chapter 1, I could give you many. I'll give you one. Mark chapter 1. All throughout the Bible we read about the compassion of Jesus Christ. He said, take My yoke upon you and learn of Me. I want to say this morning, it is a yoke of compassion. How we need to get back to that day, brother. A lot of God's people lost their compassion. Mark chapter 1. Verse 40, Mark chapter 1, verse 40, and there came a leper or two, and beseeching Him and kneeling down and saying unto Him, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And Jesus moved. He was moved with compassion and put forth His hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. I want to say, it's a yoke of compassion. I could go on and on and on and on and on. And God's people need, we need that yoke of compassion in our life. The world going to hell. Over there in Jude chapter 1, verse 22, one of my favorite verses, it says this, and of some having compassion, making a difference. You want to make a difference? I'll tell you how to do it. Have some compassion. We've lost it, brethren. George Whitefield, when he used to preach, that old great preacher, preaching in the 1700s, one of the greatest, probably the greatest preacher that ever lived. Most people say you could hear him 2 miles. And he, every time he'd get up and preach Miss Rachel, he'd be bawling and weeping and crying. And they'd say to him, Brother Whitfield, they could hear you a lot better if you wouldn't cry. And he said, how can I not but cry when I see these people going to hell without hope? Where's our compassion? I want to say Jesus had a yoke of compassion. John William Booth started the Salvation Army. He took the gospel to a dying world. The churches wouldn't have him, Brother Ben. They kicked him out of churches. No church would have him. He went out on the streets and went to the bums and the harlots. He used to hold services, Miss Liz, on Sundays in cat houses and saloons. That was the only place that happened. That opened him up and let that man of God preach to those sinners, Miss Martha. He said one time, I don't care how far in the bottomless pit I had to go to pull a sinner out. He went down those streets, man, and went down to those poor folks, man. And he said this one time. He said, not call, did you say? He said, you hadn't heard the call? He said, put your ear down to the Bible and hear Him bid you go and pull sinners out of the fires of hell. Put your ear down to the burdened, agonized heart of humanity and listen to its pitiful cry for help. Go by the gates of hell and hear the damned entreat you to go to their father's house and bid their brothers and sisters and servants and masters not to come. Then go to Jesus Christ, whose mercy you profess to obey. And tell Him whether you would join heart and yoke up and body and soul and circumstances to march to publish His mercy and compassion to the world. Brother, we need compassion. I want to say Jesus Christ had a yoke of compassion. I could go on and on and on giving you examples about His compassion. And boy, this world needs compassion and love. And I'm going to tell you, they're only going to find it in God's people if they find it. This world is consumed with pleasures, entertainment, sports, anger, politics, everything in the world but compassion. Everything but compassion. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that heavy labor. And our brother, the world is labor and heavy laden right now. We're living in the most stressed out, depressed generation ever. And brother, they're looking for something real, and we claim to have it. I heard about a little boy one time. And he was about 5 or 6 years old. Read a story of him. He is an orphan, little boy, Miss Jane. And he was in a foster home, an orphan, and a family come along, Miss Martha, and they wanted to adopt this little old boy, Miss Liz. And they took him and brought him to their house and took that little boy, and they had a nice house. They were a fairly well-to-do couple. And they brought the little boy in, and they took him to the room. Brother Ben showed him his room, said, Tommy, see this beautiful room? This will be your room. This can be your room, Tommy. And they say, look at this bed, Tommy. This nice, soft bed, Tommy. Tommy, this is your bed, Tommy. This will be your room. And this is your nice bed. And they had a bunch of toys in a toy box. And they say, look here, Tommy. We adopt you, Tommy. We're going to give you all these toys. And you'll have all these toys to play with. All these things. And they looked at him. The little old boy looked up with tears in his eyes. And he said, yeah. You love a little guy like me? You know what the world's saying? Hey, can you love somebody like me? Is there somebody out there with a little bit of compassion? I've got the toys. I've got the house. Is there somebody with a little bit of compassion? You know what he had? Jesus Christ had a yoke of compassion. I was at the park yesterday walking around, passing out tracts, talking to people about the Lord, having a good time. And there's two men I've never seen there before. They were probably in their 60s or maybe their 70s. And the black man and the white man, they were walking. They were just having a good time. And of course, I reached in. I said, hi, fellas, let me give you guys a little gospel tract. Tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, they took it. They were so excited. They were saved. They were part of the Christian. They've been talking about the Lord. And I told them, I said, well, I come down here and walk about every day. And I said, I walk around and I give out gospel tracts. And I said, I talk to people about the Lord. And I pray with them. And I said, I've probably led about 15, 20 people to the Lord here in the last few years out here. Not a whole lot, but a few. I said, I've led a few to the Lord. And I said, I pray with a lot of folks about things, of different things out here with them. And old black fella, he began crying. I mean, black folk, they got such a tender heart. He began crying, Miss Martha. And he looked at me, he said, brother, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. He said, because there's people out here, they're hurting. They're crying. They're
pleading and needing someone to listen to and somebody to pray with them, and they don't know anybody. And brother, thank you for taking the time out to show them a little bit of compassion. How we need a yoke of compassion today.
Jesus Christ, He had compassion. It needs so little sympathy to cheer a weary way. Sometimes a little kindness lights up a dreary day. A very simple, friendly word may hope and strength impart, or just an understanding smile revive some fainting heart. And like a sudden sunlit ray lighting a darkened room, a sunny spirit and a smile may clear the deepest depths of gloom. A little compassion, my friend, go a long way in this world. Now God's people need it. Oh, how we need it. Oh, how we need to get our eyes off this junk of the world. God forbid. I want to say Jesus Christ had a yoke of compassion. Not only that, He had a yoke of communion this morning. And that word communion means fellowship. It means the intercourse of two people closely. It means a state of giving and receiving. It comes from the word come in union. It means for you to come and join up with somebody. It means for you to get close and have fellowship and know that. And Jesus, throughout the Bible, you know what He's found that? See, you saw Jesus Christ reaching out and touching people. You saw Jesus Christ having communion with people. We talk about the Lord's Supper as a time of communion. The Bible says this, the cup of blessing which we bless, it is not the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break is not the communion of the body of Christ. And that word communion, it means that time you get close to God during the Lord's Supper. It means that time you join up with Him and you commune with Him. You communion. And I want to say Jesus Christ had a yoke. He had a yoke of communion. All throughout the Bible, take your Bible. Turn to Matthew chapter 9. Again, Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Jesus Christ had a yoke of communion. I find 37 times in the gospel. 37 times, Brother Ben, in the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, 37 times where Jesus Christ reaches out and touches someone. He don't have to touch them. He can just speak and give it. But He had that yoke of communion where He joined up and had that concern for them. Look over at Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. Which we've seen earlier. And they departed from Jericho. A great multitude followed Him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Master, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, and Thou Son of David. And the multitude rebuked Him, because they should hold their peace. And they cried the more, having mercy. Verse 32, and Jesus stood still and called them, and said, what would you have us do? And they said, Lord, open their eyes may be opened. And Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes were open. Actually, I was reading Matthew 20, same thing. Mark chapter 1, verse 40, He comes over to a leper one time, and it said a leper came to Him beseeching Him, kneeling down to Him, saying, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth His hand and touched him. And I want to say to you this morning, He had a yoke of communion throughout the Bible. I can give you example after example where Jesus take them lepers that nobody would be around, like Tommy Tillman deals with it. They were quarantined, and Jesus Christ would commune and reach out and touch that old poor soul. Brother, we need a yoke of communion in our lives. He could have spoken it. He could have just spoken it. But let me tell you, brother, Jesus Christ reached out and touched them. He took the time out to join up with them and show a little yoke of compassion and a yoke of communion in this world. I was walking out of the park about a month ago. It's been about a month now. And I was walking there at the park and going around, and there was an elderly black lady. She had a cane. And she was hunched back like this. She's walking with her cane going around the park. And I gave her a little gospel tract. I said, ma'am, could I give you a little gospel tract to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ? And she, shaking like this, she took that gospel tract. And when I did, Miss Rachel, she had the most beautiful, biggest, brightest smile you've ever seen in your life. Boy, she had the most beautiful smile, and she took that tract and her hand was shaking like this. And she said, "You don't remember me, do you?" I said, "No, ma'am, I don't. I'm sorry, I don't remember you." And she said, "A while back," she said, "you gave me and my husband one of these gospel tracts down to the other end." She said, "It was a while back." And she said, "You stopped there for a few minutes and sat down with us, and you told us about the Lord. And she said, you prayed with us." And she began crying. She said, "I want you to know, you changed our lives." She said, "I want you to know, you didn't know what we were going through, but," she said, "you changed our lives that day, taking the time out." She said, after you left, she said, "I told my husband, you know what that was? That was an angel from the Lord, what that was." Like old Ed Ballou said one time, preacher, he said, "I never felt like an angel, but that day I began to flutter my wings a little bit." She said, "Because you didn't know what we were going through." And I asked her, and she said, "My husband, he went home to be with the Lord 2 months ago. He had pancreatic cancer." She said, "You didn't know all that." See, my friend, there's a yoke of communion. You don't know what these people are going through. I had no idea even that day what that lady was going through and how it touched her life. And I could give you example. I could give you about EJ. I prayed there at the hospital one day in the parking lot. His wife was in the hospital. He had had a heart attack. And he was coming out of the hospital. And I got on my knees in the prayer in the parking lot with him. Miss Rachel, and prayed. And he's called me back several times saying, "Brother, I want you to know I love you. I love you, man, for doing that." There's a yoke of communion, that fellowship where you reach out and touch the lives of somebody. A little compassion. You never know. You never know what these souls are going through. There are gems of wondrous brightness, oftentimes lying at our feet. As we pass them, walking thoughtless down the busy, crowded street. If we knew our pace would slacken, we would step more oft with care, lest our careless feet be treading to the earth some jewel rare. See, there's some jewels out there. There's some lives you can touch. There's some things you can change. If we knew what hearts are aching for the conference we might bring, if we knew what souls are yearning for the sunshine we could fling, if we knew what feet are weary walking pathways roughly laid, we would quickly hasten toward stretching forth our hands to aid. Yoke of communion. If we knew what friends around us feel, a hurt they never tell, that some word which might have spoken pained or wounded where it fell, we would speak in accents tender to each friend we chanced to meet. We would give to each one freely smiles of sympathy so sweet. I want to say Jesus Christ had a yoke of compassion. He had a yoke of communion. He took time to talk to people. He took time to commune, touch those folks, my friend. You never know what folks are going through. Not only that, I want to say it was not just a yoke of compassion. It was a yoke of communion. But I'll tell you something else. It was a yoke of companionship. You'll never know anybody, my friend, till you yoke up with him. Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest." And he said this, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." The only way you're going to learn about Jesus Christ is take that yoke and yoke up with him. Put that yoke on him, his yoke upon you, and you and him walk together and yoke up. And you know what you'll do? You'll learn of him. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." It's a yoke of companionship. Jesus wants us to fellowship. He said in Revelation chapter 3:20, I preached about it and told you, "Behold, I stand at the door knocking. Any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and him with me and sup with him." He wants that fellowship. He wants that yoke of companionship. And when you yoke up with the Lord, where he goes, you go. You learn of him. He goes through the troubles and the trials and the victories and the tears and the cheers. It's a yoke of companionship. How we need that yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That's how you learn about somebody. 37 years ago, June the 9th, 1983, I yoked up with that beautiful young lady right there. And boy, she was something else. She is something else. And she was something else when I yoked up. Man, you talking about a beautiful bride. Whew, my soul. And I tell you what, second greatest day of my life was the day I yoked up with that girl right there. Greatest day of my life is when I got saved. There wouldn't be no any other great days outside that one. But I'm going to tell you, the second greatest day of my life was 37 years ago when I yoked up with that lady right there. Bible talks about that in Genesis chapter 2, how that God made Adam out of the ribs of man. He said it made a woman. And said, she is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, that she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. This cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and they shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. There's that yoke of companionship. And we've been through things, and for 37 years we've been in the mountaintop. We've seen God do something. We've been in the valleys. We've raised three amazing children. And brother, throughout that yoke of companionship, you know what we got to do is learn of one another. Jesus Christ likens the relationship between you and Him as that of a man and wife. He said, Ephesians chapter 5 talks about the church. He said, you're members of the body of His flesh and of His bones, same like was Eve. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, He said. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. There's a yoke of companionship, a yoke of compassion, yoke of communion with Jesus Christ. Even in Revelation chapter 19, that talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb, where God's people will get married to Jesus Christ. There's a yoke of companionship. I yoked up with this incredible lady 37 years ago. And where she goes, Miss Rachel, I go. When she feels the pain, I feel the pain. When she goes through the stuff, I go through the stuff. It's a yoke of companionship. When she is sick here for the last few weeks, she can tell you, I didn't leave her side. Outside to go get medicine or go eat. When she was on the couch, I was right there by a recliner. She was in the bed, I was right there. Where she went, I went. I wasn't going to leave her side. Yoke of companionship. Jesus Christ wants you and I to have that yoke of companionship like that with Him. And she was sick. That thing broke out on her. And let me tell you, it went all over her body. Everywhere. She felt so bad, Miss Rachel, all she could do was lay on the couch. Her face was all swollen, Miss Jane. And it was red. Her lips were all swollen up and red. Her eyes were so swollen she couldn't hardly see out of them. She had welts all over her arms, and where she'd been scratching, there were scabs all over her body, and she was putting band-aids all over her. And her hair was... And my wife, listen, she don't go anywhere without fixing herself up a little bit. But she just... Band-aids. We were going through boxes of band-aids like M&M's, man. She had scabs all over her face, all swollen up, welts all over her face, broke all out and all that kind of stuff. And every once in a while, two or three times during the day, Miss Jane, I'd go by her when she lay on the couch and I'd give her a kiss and I'd say, I love you, sweetie pie. Every so often, Miss Liz, I just run over there and say, hey, I love you, sweetie pie. And one time she looked up at me, Brother Ben, and she laughed. She said, I bet I look awful. You know, I told her, I said, oh no, you're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my whole life. And she is. You say, what is that, preacher? Has that yoke of companionship. That's what we've been through, Brother Alonzo. Sometime with the Lord. Get to that place in your life, you say, man, Lord, I'm just having a hard time. I'm broke out with the world. I'm just having a hard time getting through this thing, God.
And Lord, I bet I look awful to you. And the Lord said, oh no, my child. Oh no. You look beautiful to me washed in that blood of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, my friend, it is a yoke of companionship. It's a yoke of compassion. It's a yoke of communion. I want to say it's a yoke of comfort. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And he said, you'll find rest unto your souls. I'm not talking about a rest of the flesh. I'm talking about a rest for your souls. It's a yoke of comfort. I'm so glad I'm saved. Me and my wife went through that. It was a tough deal. I'm still going through it some. But it's so wonderful to pray. And we prayed and prayed and prayed. It's so wonderful to pray and know God hears us. And I pray many times. We pray, Lord, we've done everything we know to do. Lord, we went to the doctors. We helped them. And now, Lord, all we got's left to trust is you, Lord. That's it. Help us. Doctors, a lot of times, they just don't know. Boy, it sure is a yoke of comfort to know that no matter what happens, he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Therefore, I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I'm so glad of that. I'm so glad there's a yoke of comfort. He said, you'll find rest to your souls. And the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit when He comes. He's called the Spirit of Comfort. He said, I'll send you another. He's a comforter. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 said, the God of all comfort, who's able to comfort you in all your afflictions. I want to say it's a yoke of comfort. It's a yoke of compassion. A yoke of communion. A yoke of companionship. A yoke of comfort. I'll just give you one more. It's a yoke of commitment. The word yoke means a mark of servitude. It means slavery. It means bondage. When you yoke up with someone, you're hooked up with them. These old cows, when they hook up, you know what they're doing? They're committed. Yeah, they'll either drag you. There's no backsliding here. There's no turning back. Brother, when you yoke up, that yoke of commitment with the Lord, it's full steam ahead. I want to say it's a yoke of commitment. When I got saved 45 years ago, about 6 months after I got saved, reading my Bible. It took about 6 months. Read my Bible through 3 or 4 times by then. And I got through that, read that Bible and got through it. And I took a look, Miss Liz, Miss Martha, I looked at the world. And I looked at the Word. And I said, Nancy, which way do I want to go now? I want to go this way with the world, or am I going to stay with this Word? Am I going to go with the God of the world? He's the God of the world, the devil, by the way. It's not the Lord. Or I'm going to go with the Word of God. And I made that commitment years ago. And I tell you, I've never regretted. I've never regretted. I looked at the world in 1975. The world was sane back then compared to what it is now. Brother Roloff used to say this world's an insane asylum run by the inmates. And boy, has he ever hit it today. I mean, the world's gone mad. And when I look at it, boy, I'm more committed to Jesus Christ than I've ever been. I can honestly say before the Lord this morning, I'm more committed to Him today than I was yesterday. I can say I'm more committed this Sunday than I was last Sunday. You say, why? I just get more committed and more dedicated and more decided I'm going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, period. It's a yoke of commitment. To me, it's a no-brainer. I'm not interested in the things of the world. I'm not interested in these elections. Oh, God forbid, man. I tell you what I'm interested in. The things of the Word of God. Things I can make a difference. I'm not caught up in that stuff. I don't want to get caught up in that stuff. The Bible said, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. I mean, over and over, Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I to the world. Hey, let's get back to that commitment to the Word of God. Jesus Christ had a yoke of commitment. His first words you ever read in the Bible, he said, was Luke chapter 2. Over there when they were looking for him, he said, he told him he was 12 years old. Mary came looking for him. He said, know you not that I must be about my Father's business. In John chapter 19, the last words he said on the cross, he said, it is finished. He didn't quit on us. Isaiah chapter 50, he set his face like a flint. He was committed. The Bible said he is foreordained before the foundation of the world to be slain for you and I.
over and over and over.
Matthew 27, they said on the cross, He saved others. He cannot save Himself. Come down to the cross and we'll believe. Listen, if He had come down to that cross, He couldn't have saved me and you. There was a yoke of commitment with Jesus Christ. He didn't die. He didn't give up.
At Calvary, He said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Brother, if He can do that for me, surely to goodness, I can live for Him. I think of old C.T. Studd, one of the richest men in the world. I told you, the greatest athlete of his day. Family, one of the richest families in the world. And gave up that fame and gave up his fortune, everything he had, to go to China and serve Jesus Christ. C.T. Studd said, if Jesus Christ be God and He died for me, he said, there's no sacrifice too great for me to do for Him. There's a yoke of commitment. That yoke of commitment. I tell you, the more I look at this world, the more I look at the things around this old world, I tell you, the more I'm glad I yoked up with Him. I think old Billy Sunday one time talked about it when he got saved. He said, that day I got saved, he said, I put everything I had on Jesus Christ. He said, I put my fame, I put my fortune, I put my family, I put my faith, I put my feelings, I put it all on Jesus Christ. And he said, that's the best deal I ever made. It's a yoke of commitment. Think of the man that God used. Jesus Christ says one time, when you yoke up with Him, you're committed. He said over there in Luke chapter 9, He said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. See, when you yoke up with Him, there's no looking back. That old horse, that cow right there, he can't even turn his head. He's yoked up. He's got to keep going. There's a yoke of commitment. I think of old Tommy Tillman. What a ministry. You know, I don't know somebody, how many read his book, but one of the things he said when God saved him and called him to preach, he said, Lord, give me that ministry nobody else wants. What he said. He said, I want the one nobody else wants. Nobody will take it, God, but that's the one I want. And God said, okay, I'm going to let you be a minister and missionary to lepers. You don't have medium signing up for that, Miss Martha. That's one of the most contagious diseases in the world. Not only lepers, he's going over there in communists and Mongolia and over in the desert places. Been there for 50 years, man. 50 years. That guy set, built hospitals, all kinds. He's been through 14 heart stents. He got stents and stents and stents and stents and stents. He's had several heart attacks. He's had several bouts with cancer. Out of two daughters, a year apart, die in their 50s unexpectedly in the last few years. That was in his ministry. Had a grandson, 33 years old, Jordan. They used to drive him around, been here several times in this church. Died unexpectedly. Has a wife who's ill, nearly blind. You know what that old preacher does? He keeps going. Y'all saw him here a while back. When he had a heart attack and he got up here in the pulpit and he said, the doctors told me I can't go back. And Brother Tommy's pretty subdued, and y'all heard him, he left his pot and he said, I have to go back! I have to go back to my people! So what is it? Yoke of commitment. Cleckenward family over there, Indonesian tribal, Indonesia, those people over there, Miss Liz, and I gave you a newsletter a while back, read one of them where it said his wife has shingles from the bottom of her feet to the top of her head. Gave one time where it said the whole family was eaten up with dengue fever, and his wife, she's not but about that big, and I think she says she lost 30 pounds, so sick. And they're all over there sick with that dengue fever. No hospitals, no doctor laying there. And in that newsletter, I read it to you, and he said, but no one was complaining. Nobody asked to go home. Nobody asked to leave the mission field. You say, what is that, preacher? That's a yoke of commitment. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden's light. He says, you'll find rest to your souls. So what is it? It's a yoke of compassion. It's a yoke of communion this morning. You need to take time out of this busy life, and when you're at, wherever you're at Taco Bell, touch somebody. Touch somebody. You don't know what that person's going through. I guarantee you, 90% of the people you come in contact every day, whether it's a gas station, whether it's Walmart, they're going through something. And a lot of those folks don't have anybody to pray or talk to. Why don't you do it? Why don't you give them that track? Say, is there anything going on? Can I pray with you? And take a little bit of time. There's compassion. We need it. There's that communion, that companionship with the Lord. Get to know Him. He said, take my yoke upon me and learn of me. That's how you get to know Him. And enter that yoke of comfort, and you'll find the rest of your soul in a yoke of commitment. I'm committed to this thing. That song we sung, where could I go but to the Lord? Where are you going to go? Best still in this world, serving Jesus Christ. My kids, when they grew up, I told them over and over and over again. They went to the mission, the Jimmy Hale mission with us. Went to a lot of places, and it helped them. Helped them. They told me many times how those things helped them. They sang in churches and did things. I told them so many times, I said, kids, the greatest joy, greatest privilege, the greatest honor, the greatest wealth that you'll ever have is serving Jesus Christ. If it's over in the deserts like Tommy Tillman among lepers, that's the best thing you'll ever do. Take my yoke upon you. Our Father, we pray this morning. Thank you, Lord, for that great verse. Come unto me, all you laboring heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And take my yoke upon you and learn of me. What a thing. The God of heaven that made this earth is asking us to do that. It's a yoke of compassion. Yoke of communion. I could give many more, Lord, this morning. And Lord, I thank you, God, for saving my soul 45 years ago, Lord, and being so good to me. And allowing me to have the privilege to serve you, do a little bit for you. Have the privilege and honor to lead a few souls to the Lord. Pull a few souls out of the fire through the years, Lord. And preach a little bit, Father. I wouldn't take nothing for it, Lord. Wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Pray a blessing upon the message, upon this little church. Pray, Lord, do what you can do. All you can do. I can't do anything in this church, Lord. Obvious. If anything's ever done, it'll have to be you to do it, Lord. Same way with these lives. I can't touch these lives. Only you can do it, God. I just do what I can do, and there's not a whole lot, God, up here. I'm trying, but it's not much. And I know it's fall short, and I apologize, Lord, for not doing a better job, but I'm trying. And I pray, God, you'd pick up my inadequacies and my failures and my ineptness, and pray the Holy Spirit would still use it despite all my failures and touch some hearts and lives now, Lord. Love you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.